Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
All right, today we begin a journey through a new Old Testament book of the Bible, the book of Judges. And so we return our thoughts back to the Old Testament. And we're looking at this period of time where we're going to be familiar with the idea of the cycle of the Judges. It's a cycle of what God's people do all throughout this book, where they will disobey the Lord. The Lord will come to them in judgment. The people will seek the Lord. The Lord will forgive and be merciful. And that cycle just repeats. That'll be something you see over and over again. And I hope it is something that can serve as a warning for us and as a reminder in our own life of things that we need to be aware of so that we're not repeating that same kind of cycle that we see happening in their lives. So let's get after it today, looking at Judges 1, 2, and 3, five initial observations from this book. Number one, Judah and Simeon go to battle and defeat the Canaanites, the tribes. So the tribes of Judah and the tribes of Simeon go to battle, and it details the victories that they have. However, a second observation we see in the reading right after that is that the other tribes got tired of fighting, and they failed to fully drive out the people that they were to defeat. Fatigue from doing what they were called to do has set in, and so they start taking shortcuts and stop short of completing what they were called to do. And so we read over and over here, verse 27 in chapter 1, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants. Verse 29, Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites. You see it again in verse 30. You see it again in verse 31. You see it again in verse 33. And so because of their failure to fully obey what the Lord has called them to do, they have all kinds of issues that will come up for them. A third observation is the nation of Israel rebels against the Lord, abandon his ways, and because of it, they suffer judgment. We see that described in chapter 2. One example would be in verse 2, you have not obeyed my voice. Verse 11, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 13, they abandoned the Lord. Verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So the nation rebels against the Lord. They abandon his ways, and because they suffer judgment. That leads us to a fourth observation. That is that God raises up deliverers for his people known as judges. And so what we see in the middle part of chapter 2 is this next phase of how the Lord leads his people. They were disobedient, but he doesn't abandon them. Instead, he gives them judges. Now, the judges are not judges in the sense of we think of them in our world today. These were deliverers. These were people who were leading out in military conflicts and conquest. These were people God raises up to serve and defend and protect his people. And then a fifth observation is we see the first of these judges in chapter 3. Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar are the first three judges that are detailed for us. So in terms of application, what does it mean for us? Number one, we cannot fail to follow through on God's directions he gives us. We just can't afford to pick and choose what part of God's word we will take seriously. We can't afford to have elements of our spiritual lives that we grow comfortable neglecting. This is something far too often that takes place, where people who call themselves followers of God are willing to settle for disobedience or partial obedience, these kinds of things that we've seen already in our reading this year. And so we just have to be aware and be careful of this. that we've got to follow through on all of God's directions. We learn from the mistakes, I hope, of the people in the book of Judges, that we don't want to settle for less, settle for living life short of the fullness of what He has called us to do. That leads to a second application. Do not forget the Lord in days of blessing. Sometimes people are quick to call out to the Lord when life is hard, but then when life is going well, when blessings abound, they forget the Lord, or they abandon the Lord. All these are the different kinds of terms we read here in the early part of the book of Judges. And what we want to make sure as God's people today is that we don't forget the Lord. Yes, in days where you're struggling and drowning, absolutely call out to Him, of course. But don't think that life has to be turned upside down in order to take seriously following the Lord. Even if you're in a season of plenty, if you're in a season of blessing, if you're a season where things are going well, make sure in those seasons to honor the Lord, to serve the Lord, to call out to the Lord, to continue to obey the Lord. That we don't want to be the kind of people who call out to the Lord in days of struggle and then forget Him in days of blessing. Third application is that we need to beware of any cycles of disobedience. Again, this is what happens in the period of the Judges, that this repetitive cycle, they rebel, they are judged, the Lord relents, He blesses them. They rebel, they forget the Lord, and we just start that cycle all over again. What I want to challenge you with today is to consider, do you have any cycles of disobedience in your life? Do you tend to make life a mess because you neglect the Lord, and then you call out to Him and you beg for His grace and mercy, and then when you feel like things are restored, then you go right back to where you were? If that's true for you, repent of that, confess that, and strive by the Lord's help to abandon that kind of cycle of disobedience. Sometimes we see this in our life when we come back from a mission trip, or we come back from a youth camp, or some kind of Christian mountaintop experience, and we want to obey the Lord, and we're kind of on fire for the things of God, and we come back, and life gets busy, and we get distracted, and we go right back into our old ways and our old patterns, our old cycles. And so we don't want to do that. We want to learn from the sin and the error of those before us. Not that we would stand in judgment of them as a sense of looking down on them like we would never do that, but instead by realizing we too are weak. We too can be sinful. We too can so quickly desert. And so what we want to do is look at the sins other people committed and learn from them. Pray for wisdom to not repeat their sins. If we fail to learn from them, then what we do is we act and pretend as if we're too good to do what they did, and we set ourselves up for spiritual failure. So we want to be careful and beware of any cycles of disobedience that we may have in our own lives. A fourth application, God provides for us even though we are so imperfect. Do make sure that you grasp this. In the midst of the sin here in the book of Judges, in the midst of the self-reliance, in the midst of the cycles of their own disobedience, I do want you to see and remember that the Lord continues to provide even though we are so imperfect. That's true for us, isn't it? Yes, when we disobey, there is discipline. The Lord disciplines those who are His. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline is pleasant at the time, rather it's painful. Yet, the Lord still provides for His people. Don't live your life thinking that as long as you're perfect, God loves you and is there for you, and as soon as you're imperfect, God turns His back on you and has nothing to do with you. Because if you live like that, then you end up thinking that you are the hero of your own life. And for believers, that's just not true. The Lord's faithfulness is what we hold on to. He saves us. He holds us. He protects us. He is the one that will one day bring us home. Even though we are imperfect, praise the Lord, He continues to provide and be a faithful Father. But because we want to bring glory to His name, we do not want to take His provisions lightly, and we do not want to go back into old cycles of disobedience. And then a fifth application, God's work continues on through flawed people. So not only does God provide for us, that's application four. Application five is His work actually progresses even through flawed people. Let me just remind you that flawed people are the only kinds of people God uses. He used Abraham, but Abraham was a sinner. He used Moses, but Moses was a sinner. He's going to use the nation of Israel, but they abandon and rebel. He's going to use David, but David's a sinner. He's going to use Peter, James, and John in the New Testament, but they're sinners. He's going to use the Apostle Paul, but he's a sinner. And He uses us, and we're sinners. And so not only does God provide for us, even though we're imperfect, His work continues on through flawed people. And the reason for that is because the power ultimately is with God. The power is not with our creativity, our ingenuity, or our strength, or our might. The power is with God. And He's going to win. He's going to have the final word. His word, His will is what will come to be. And so the quicker that we submit ourselves to Him, the quicker that we realize that His ways are best, that His purposes will stand, hopefully, prayerfully, the quicker we would turn from any cycles of disobedience in our own life and instead live in complete surrender and abandonment to His will and to His cause. And then we read today Psalm 69, 1 to 18. I'd summarize it this way. Even in days of struggle and drowning, our prayer is to the Lord, and we ask Him to draw near to us. Yes, there are days where you will feel like you're struggling, you will feel like you're drowning, but in those days, our prayer is still to the Lord as we ask Him to draw near to us and to deliver us. And again, praise the Lord, even when we are imperfect, He provides for us. And even though we are so flawed, His work marches on through us. And so we cry out to Him, the God who Himself is our deliverer. All right, enjoy these early days of looking through the book of Judges, and we'll pray for obedience to do what His word calls us to do.